Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello there, everyone. It's been kind of a crazy week, Dalton.
How so?
On the baseball and softball diamonds.
It's been some good games.
Been some strange games, some upsets.
Yeah, true that.
A lot of runs in one game in particular.
Yeah, that one, that was a little more than crazy, I would say.
A little wild on the baseball and softball diamond. That's okay. Hey, welcome into this episode of Prep Rally. Coming to you every Wednesday. You can find us in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Here to talk high school sports in Northeast Mississippi for the next 15 to 20 minutes. Dalton, how you been?
Oh, I'm all right. I'm a little tired.
Yeah, me too. Overslept today. By a lot.
I didn't, but I don't really know why I'm tired.
We're getting toward the end of a long sports calendar year. Of course, we operate on the August to June or August to May, technically, I guess, as far as the high school sports seasons go. So we're getting toward the end of that. It's now April, so that means we're getting down, kind of toward the home stretch for softball and baseball, Dalton. I think we got like 2.5 weeks left
in regular
season.
About a month and a half left of high school sports altogether this year.
Yeah, mid-May is when the baseball wraps up in Pearl.
It's crazy to think about. I didn't realize it was that close to us.
Older you get, the faster it goes by, Dalton. Happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, yeah, thanks. My birthday was last week. On Thursday, I turned 24.
I was going to say about 17, 18.
Right.
24. Once you hit 25, it's all downhill.
Mm-hmm.
So you got one good year left. Hey, let's talk some baseball, Dalton. Had some big games the past week. I was out at Ripley last night for a big 1-4-A contest between the Tigers and Tishomingo County. Ripley coming in undefeated in division at 6-0, Tish County coming in at 5-1. They were 7-8 overall entering the game. Tish was, but played a pretty tough non-division schedule. Mm-hmm. But again, they were 5-1 coming in division play, which was what really matters. And the Braves end up getting the 8-2 win. Ripley started out fine. They got a run in the first inning. Should have had more, could have had more, but left the bases loaded against Tish County starter Charlie McAnally, who ended up settling in and having a really good outing. But Ripley kind of fell apart in the fourth inning. They committed four errors, led to five unearned runs, and Tish went ahead 5-2 and went on to win 8-2. And McAnally, just a sophomore, but had a good breaking pitch working and ended up going six innings, struck out 11, including the last five batters he faced. Then his pitch count got up there, and he had to exit after six innings, but did a heck of a job against a pretty good Ripley lineup. Ripley had five hits, Dalton. None of them left the infield. Five infield hits.
Speed kills.
Only one of those was a bunt.
Mm-hmm.
So could not get the ball out of the infield to save their lives, and just and good defense by Tish County. They made a couple of errors early, but otherwise they made some really good plays. And Ripley, like I said, had that one really bad inning with the four errors, and that just ended up dooming them. So those teams are now tied at the top of the standings in 1-4-A at 6-1. They play again Friday at Iuka, so that's a huge game.
That should be the division championship, shouldn't it?
Essentially, yes, unless one of them stumbles down the stretch. So, yeah, really good win there for Tish County. You know, this is a team last year that made the playoffs for the first time in a while. They finished third in the division. Casey James doing a great job there in Iuka. Dalton, you were at a Houston-Hatley game last night in 4-3-A, and Houston, I wasn't sure how good they'd be considering what they lost. And, of course, they had a new coach this year as well. But they've got a pretty good record, and they took care of business pretty handily, didn't they?
Yeah, I think that, you know, they're kind of riding a hot streak right now. They've won a couple games in a row. They actually beat South Panola.
They did.
This weekend, South Panola is really leading good. That Tupelo-Oxford division. They're they're number one in that division right now. So, and then they kind of carried that over. Early in the game, you know, Hatley looked really good early.
Mm-hmm.
The first two innings, Hatley stranded two runners on base each inning and then faced the minimum of Houston batters. Blaise Gann got a leadoff single to start for Houston in the top of the first, but then was gunned down at second base trying to steal base, and then they went 5-5 down. Third inning's kind of where it just unraveled, you know, for Hatley. Houston, I think Kevin Diaz started off. You know, I think we mentioned him. I think it was last week on the podcast. You know, he led off the inning with a single and then a hit by pitch, and then all of a sudden Zach Bourne, 9-hole hitter, just cranked a 3-run home run over the left field fence.
Mm.
And so they were up 3-0, and then all of a sudden Blaise Gann, starting pitcher, Bradley Poteet, a couple other guys just get a couple more hits. I think an error happened, and then all of a sudden it was 7-0.
Yeah. And ended up 10-0 was the final.
Yeah, yeah. And once he got 7-0, Blaise Gann really, really settled down. He allowed a leadoff single in the third and then sat down the next 8, I believe.
Mm.
He didn't have just dominating stuff, but you know, he has infield making some plays behind him, and he had a really good night. I think he ended up allowing 4 hits. He allowed a 2-out single in the bottom of the 5th,
mm-hmm.
but then the kid got gunny down trying to steal second base.
Yeah, yeah. So Houston in control in that division right now?
No, they're actually tied at the top of South Pontotoc still.
All right, South Pontotoc.
They were South split last week.
Okay, okay. So interesting race there.
They're both 6-1. I'm not sure what the tiebreaker would be if they both went out. I don't know.
But it's either, head-to-head wouldn't count, so I don't know if it maybe run differential.
Maybe so. I'm not sure.
But anyway, yeah, I always get confused on the tiebreakers, especially in baseball. Good win there for Houston on the road. Here's a game worth mentioning, Dalton. Holka and Okolona last weekend. What was that, Friday, Saturday?
It was Saturday.
Saturday. They took to the diamond and ended up putting up a football score. What was the final?
37-19. That's more like a girls' basketball score right there.
56 runs. Oh, man.
Yeah, it was 37-19. Holka really wasn't just a crazy amount of hits.
Yeah.
On the stat sheet, Holka had 17 hits, but it also said Okolona only made 1 error. So I kind of find that hard to believe.
Well, as we've discussed before, when you've got some people don't know how to keep score properly, or they just, you know.
Yeah.
They want to give a kid a hit.
Give him a hit.
Yeah, yeah, some hard work.
So I'm not sure how many of those 17 hits were actually hits, but Holka had 17 hits and 24 official at-bats, and they were walked 26 times and hit by 5 pitches.
Yikes.
And that led to 37 runs.
Wow, yeah.
And so I imagine there was a couple of errors spread out through there.
Probably so. And both teams had kind of run out of pitching, which you see a lot on these Saturday games.
Yeah, and that's what Coach Griffin told me, Holka's coach. He said that they played the Saturday before, and I think it was like 11-8 or 11-7 game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they both played division games all week, and then came in there. He said they were just throwing some guys, hoping they could throw strikes, and it just didn't work. I mean, Okolona had 9 hits themselves. It was, you know, they scored 19 runs. They had 9 hits. They were walked 11 times, and Holka made 15 errors in the game. So
yeah, yeah.
So that's how they scored their runs, basically, you know, from 15 errors. Jeez. So, but
it's all good work on fielding this week, guys.
Yeah, that's a crazy one right there. It almost ended in the third inning.
Well, but not quite. Yeah, not almost quite. Got the 15-run rule, but Okolona rallied.
Okolona kept trying. They were trying to get back in there, and they eventually – I mean, I wish they had cut even closer. I'd love to see how high the score could have gone.
37-35.
It's possible. This could have been up in the 60s. I was actually looking it up. I thought the 37 runs would be a record. But I saw about 2 years ago, the Clarion Ledger did a column on East Webster winning 45-0 over a team in the playoffs. I think that was before me and you started back in sports.
Wow. I don't remember that one.
East Webster beat O'Bannon 45-0, I think. And
goodness.
I don't know. I don't remember hearing that score, so I guess it was before I started here.
Must have been a while back. Goodness. So, yeah, that happened. 56 runs in a baseball game. Looking ahead real quick, Dalton, got a big game coming up Friday. Oxford and Tupelo at Tupelo. These teams met Tuesday, and Oxford won. I believe 6-3 was the final.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that you talked about South Panola. I mean, this division is pretty stacked. These are all three really, really good teams.
Yeah, and no offense to South Panola. I'm really surprised that they're on top, you know, because last year I think they weren't great last year.
Right.
But this year, you know, they have a pretty good, you know, pitcher in Blaine Ware, their ace, and he actually lost to Tupelo in the first matchup, and then I guess he beat Oxford last week. I mean, since they swept Oxford in the 2-game series, I think they each got one more left with them.
Okay.
But you know, Oxford and Tupelo, I think now they're both tied at 4-2 or 3-2. They're tied with 2 losses
for
second place, and I guess I know I'm going to be at this game. I'm interested to see how it's going to work out. I don't know how much Tupelo's going to have left on the mound. You know, their top two pitchers coming into the year, Hunter Elliott and John McMarlin, I think have each pitched one game. Neither one of them pitched since February.
Right.
Because of injuries. So Peyton Puckett's the only kid from last year's team that pitched any innings that's on their mound. He's their ace right now, it seems like.
Right.
He threw 8 innings last year. He comes in now. He's their ace. He got banged up a little bit last night. I think 4 or 5 of the runs were his. Maybe all 6. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know who they're going to throw on Friday. I haven't seen their game 2 starter yet. So maybe – I don't know when Hunter Elliott's supposed to be back. But whenever he comes back, he's going to be an instant game changer, I would imagine.
Yeah. Well, that's a huge game there between those two. I believe that's at 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. On Friday at Tupelo.
I'm excited for it. I haven't seen Oxford yet this year. So.
Yeah. Certainly a big one to watch there. Let's switch gears real quick to softball, Dalton. I got out and saw Houston, the Daily Journal's number one ranked team, take on number 2 Corinth. And this past Friday. I was expecting it to be a pretty close game. I mean, you know, it's your top 2 teams. But mm-hmm. Houston, the reigning 3A state champs, displayed the dominance you kind of have seen from them since last season to remain undefeated up to that point. More on that in a moment. But Pates Kilgore did a great job pitching. The final was 8-1. Aquana Brownlee led the offensive attack. Of course, she's the reigning Daily Journal Player of the Year, Mississippi State signee. I mean, just top to bottom, this batting order is really dangerous. And they hit a really good pitcher, Mackenzie Patterson. I mean, she's really good for Corinth, but they got to her early and kind of got her rattled, I think, a little bit, and ended up getting a nice non-division win. Of course, division play is more important, and Houston on Tuesday night went to Nettleton and lost 4-1. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an upset. There's no two ways about it. I mean, I actually was talking to Jacob Kidd, the Nettleton coach, a while ago, and he was like, you know what, we finally played some defense. He said it was mm-hmm. the first game they didn't make any errors on defense. Got a good game from their pitcher, Katie Grace Payne, and I managed to get to Paige Kilgore a little bit there, I think in the fifth inning. That's a huge win for Nettleton. I mean, it puts them in division play at, I believe, 4-3, and that'll obviously be the first division loss for Houston. And you know, this is one of those games that can happen sometimes to a really good team. They'll lose a game they on paper should not lose, but tell you what, Nettleton, while this team is struggling, they still got a really good coach there in Jacob Kidd, and you know they've got some talent. And you know, if you have a good pitcher who has a good game like Katie Grace Payne, that gives you a shot against pretty much anybody. That's the thing about softball. If you've got a really good pitcher, you can be in a game with just about any team. So big one there for Nettleton.
I think Houston and South Pontotoc, have they played yet?
No, because South Pontotoc has not lost yet. So that could South Pontotoc has a chance to win the division.
Yeah, South Pontotoc, they're the only undefeated team left in the area.
I think they might be. Nice to mention it. Because they're currently number 3. No, number 2 in our rankings after the Corinth lost last week. Yeah, I have them as a 15-0-2. So they would probably going to move up to number 1 unless they lose this weekend.
Yeah, and they beat Hatley, 4-2, I think, last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, so they are in control of the division.
Yeah, so they're in first. So I think they got 2 games left to play. So
but if Houston can handle their business against South Pontotoc, then, you know, mm-hmm. can still be in good shape there either way.
Of course, they're
both going to be in the playoffs and in 3A there. So, yeah, looking forward to those teams meeting Houston and South Pontotoc. Houston will play Corinth again at home this Friday, by the way. Let's move on to soccer real quick. We had our all-area soccer team in the paper on Sunday. If you missed it, you need to go check it out. Go to djournal.com. Real quick, the award winners, our players of the year, were from Tupelo. How do you say it?
Johannes Sognes.
There you go. The transfer from Norway.
And he had a stellar year. I think he ended up with 33 goals and 14 assists, I think, in 17 games, and had 6 or 7 hat tricks, I think. You know, he had a great season for the Wave.
Yeah, definitely. And no surprise here, Morgan O'Connor of Oxford wins the Girls Player of the Year for the third consecutive year. Another big season for her, and she is, you know, she could have won it 4 years in a row, but she's not coming back next year because she's graduating early. She's going to end up enrolling at Ole Miss this summer. right after her 17th birthday. This is insane. She is.
Do you know if there's ever been in any sport a three-time winner for us?
Certainly not in soccer. Mm-hmm. As far as other sports, probably not. I'd have to go check. I've got the list, I think, somewhere on my computer. Mm-hmm. But I seriously doubt we've had a three-time winner. We've had some two-timers, for sure. Like Jett Johnson in football is a recent example. I don't know about three times, though.
She's so dominant.
Yeah, she is, man. I think she had, like, I don't have it in front of me, 35 goals in 14 games. Just she's averaging.
Well, I think I saw her against Tupelo earlier in the year. And she had two goals in that game. I think there one was in overtime, one was in the closing minutes of the second half. One was from about, seemed like it was 35, 40 yards out. It was just a laser.
Goodness.
She's good.
Mm. So congrats to them. And then the coaches of the year were Tyler Moore of Pontotoc, the boys coach of the year. Girls coach of the year, Melinda Scruggs of Lafayette, leading the Lady Commodores to the Class 5A state championship. So they're second ever, and both have come under Scruggs, a Seattle native, by the way, but she played at Ole Miss and then ended up sticking around and was an assistant coach at Ole Miss, but also she did leave briefly to be an assistant at in Georgia at Columbus State. But a high school job came open a decade ago. She wanted it, and she took it, and she's done a nice job building a winning culture there at Lafayette.
Yeah, and she just looking at that roster, looks like she's going to have a winning program for a few more years.
They only lose four seniors. I think a couple of those started, and so they've got players like Lucy Wilson.
Mm-hmm. She scored a hat trick in the state championship.
Yep, leading goal scorer. She's back, among others. And so, anyway, if you missed it again, check out Sunday's Journal or go to djournal.com, and you can see the stories on those people we just talked about and also the all-area list. So, there you go. Soccer. Time for the shout-out, Dalton. Try to do this every week. Hey, let's give a shout-out to the archery champs. On Tuesday, Saltillo wins its 8th state title in a row. Of course, this is only the second year it's officially been an MHSAA sanctioned sport, but they've been having these championships for a while. So Saltillo wins again in Class 3, Itawamba AHS in Class 2. And as I speak right now, they're still, I believe, competing in Class 1. So don't know if we'll have a state champ there. By the time you hear this, podcast, we'll probably know. But congrats to them. And then we've got Athletes of the Week, so let's wrap it up with that. Female Athlete of the Week, Ashley Epps, a senior for the Oxford track and field team. They had the Mississippi High School Invitational on Friday at Ole Miss. Big meet, very competitive meet, a lot of great teams from in-state and out-of-state. And Ashley Epps won the 100-meter hurdles with a time of 14.99 seconds, and she also took first place in the 300-meter hurdles at 46.08. And according to milesplit.com, those are both, quote, elite performances.
Mm-hmm.
Have a certain standard that they, I think for that whole meet, and there were a lot of competitors, there were 28 elite performances between boys and girls, and Ashley Epps had two of those. Male Athlete of the Week, Jared Johnson, a senior for Smithville, pitcher, and gosh, what does he play when he's not pitching?
Shortstop,
that's right. Yeah, he's good on the mound and hitting the ball, but he had a one-hit shutout Tuesday night against division foe TCPS. That was Tuesday night. He struck out 10, walked just 2. In that complete game win, 5-0, I believe, was the final. Smithville wins. They'll meet again on Friday. I'll be at that game. And on Saturday against Pine Grove, he was 4-for-4 at the plate with a home run. 4 runs scored as the Seminoles won 12-2. I believe he's got 5 home runs on the season. And I'm going to try to have something on him in tomorrow's prep notebook.
I wonder if he's gotten a hit in every single game this season. Because remember last year at the state championship, you had figured it out that he ended the season like a 19 or 20 game hit streak.
Oh, that's right, he did.
I wonder if he.
I've actually got his stats pulled up right here. Let me look and see. Here we go. He's got 4 games without a hit.
Mm.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll.
So, but he's still hitting .425.
Yeah, he's good.
He is very good. Okay. So congrats to Jared and Ashley, our Athletes of the Week. And that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. We do thank you all for tuning in. Again, we come to you every Wednesday. You can find us in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or stream us online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Dalton's on there at DLMiddleton8, and I'm on there at Brad Locke. All right. We'll see y'all next week. Have a good one.